This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, we're glad to have you. Whether it's 4 o'clock or 2:15, who cares? We're glad to have you in here. So let's start out. I think the big news, especially coming off of what you told us last week on the show, and I know it's gotten a little run on the station and around town here this week, that you had gotten informed from sources around Jadeveon Clowney that it would be at least July till he gets there, which seems to indicate that the franchise tender would eventually get signed, but he's not going to be at any of these OTAs. This coming Monday, guarantee you, there will be stories and headlines about Jadeveon Clowney not being in the building, it sounds like, because he's not going to show up at those workouts. I want to initially get your reaction to the DeMarcus Lawrence contract. 5 years, $105 million, $65 million. Did the same thing pop into your head that seemed to pop into others, including Wade Smith, who tweeted immediately, hashtag Clowney coming, that this somehow plays into the whole Clowney saga?
Definitely. I don't think, and this is just me just giving my opinion.
Yeah.
I think he wants more than DeMarcus. Obviously, they get drafted the same year, I believe, 33 or 34 picks later, DeMarcus went. But I think that's like the least that he will take. In my humble opinion.
You think he would take $65 million guaranteed? Though you said he's shooting for more, you think he would accept an offer like that?
I think he would want 70. Between 70 and 75 guaranteed.
Yeah.
That's somewhere, that's below Mac, that's below Donald.
It almost splits the difference between Donald and Lawrence. It's almost right in between the two.
I think that's fair for what he brings to the table.
Do you think he's a better player than DeMarcus Lawrence?
I do.
What makes him a better player?
The way you can move him around. The way he can, he's a disruptor where DeMarcus kind of stays in the spot. Put it this way. If I think, if we switch teams, if DeMarcus plays for the Texans and plays in Clowney's role and Clowney plays with DeMarcus, I think Clowney will have a bigger impact because he's not here with the Texans and on the Cowboys. So I think he will just, I think he plays more his true position as a 4-3 defensive end. We can just rush the passer, make plays, use his athletic ability, bend the corner. And he'll have the double-digit sacks that people are looking for. Right?
Yeah, I think he'd be the best edge pass rusher on the Cowboys, which
easily.
He's not here.
Easily. And I don't think DeMarcus can be the disruptor. And I think DeMarcus is very good. But I don't know if you can move him around quite like you can move a Jadeveon. He can awesome in the run game, awesome in the pass rushing game. So I definitely think he's better.
The other question I wanted to put out there for you after we heard about the DeMarcus Lawrence contract was Lawrence commented after the contract, and I sort of have two questions. Number one, sort of in an aside, maybe you can get to this whenever you want, is Clowney ever going to talk? Is Clowney ever going to say something publicly about this whole process? Because DeMarcus Lawrence, after agreeing to the deal, said that it was important for him to stay in Dallas. He prioritized, he wanted to stay in Dallas. Ian Clowney prioritizes staying in Houston, or is Clowney more of whatever happens, happens?
I think whatever happens, happens. I don't think he prioritizes staying here. Would he like to stay here? I believe so, yes. But he's never going to say anything. That's just not him. He's not the guy that's going to be out there in the public like Antonio Brown, like the other guys that are more vocal.
Right.
That's just not him. He just want to have fun and play ball. So you're not going to hear anything. Now, when he does report, whenever that time comes, from what I'm hearing is training camp, when he does report, he'll answer the questions, but he'll keep it simple. He won't go into detail by anything. He'll just say, hey, you know, I'll leave that to my agent and whatnot. But I think that's credit to him. He's being professional in that sense.
So, and we're talking with Cecil Shorts about Jadeveon Clowney's contract situation in light of DeMarcus Lawrence getting 5 years, $105 million with $65 million guaranteed.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, can you imagine, right? I mean, hell, the franchise tag is a lot of money.
It is.
$15.9 million for Clowney. What I want to ask you is Ross Tucker had an interesting article on The Athletic this week, and it talked about more so draft prospects than guys like Clowney who've been around for a while, but I think it's applicable. He talked about NFL teams trying to sniff out how guys are going to handle all of a sudden having millions and millions of dollars. Are they still going to continue to work as hard as they did to get to the point where they signed that deal? Now, Clowney already has millions and millions of dollars. My guess is Clowney could walk away from football, and Clowney's grandkids would be taken care of from being the first pick in the draft, endorsements, everything else. But this is, I mean, 65, you just said it, Cecil, unsolicited, $65 million, man. I mean, that is like, that's some serious cheddar right there. Do you think there's any concern over with the Texans over how Clowney would handle all of a sudden getting $70 million guaranteed?
I don't think so at all. As a rookie coming in, that's a lot of money, especially with the old CBA where you got Sam Bradford getting whatever he got when he first came out, $50 million or whatever it was guaranteed.
50 plus for sure.
A kid coming out of college, I would be worried about any kid getting that much money coming straight out of college. But for Clowney, who's been number one overall, he's handled his money well. There's nothing crazy out there in the news about him going his lavish lifestyle or just knowing him. He's not out here being stupid with his money or change anything. He's still a country boy at heart. So I don't see anything different for him as far as him getting this money. He'll go out there and do something crazy or do something dangerous to his body or anybody else. So I think he'll be fine.
Well, you were around when he was a very young player with the Texans. Yes. And you've told us on previous shows how much he's grown and how much he's matured. You flat out said he was not mature when he came into the league. That kind of a windfall in 2014, maybe a little concerned about 2014 J.D. Clowney with that sort of money?
You know what? I don't think that has anything to do with it, honestly. I think O'Brien being there the whole time, he see his maturity. Brian Gain, for the time that he was here a little bit in 2015, now he's coming back. You see the maturity in that. So I don't think that's a worry at all, honestly. I think that's more for guys that have a history of doing crazy things in the news and the media or whatever the case may be.
And despite the Lawrence deal, I think we all still agree he's going to play on the tag this year.
Yeah.
And a year from now, we're going to have this conversation all over again.
Unless he has a big year. See, so my contention, and we're going to hear from John McClain in a little bit. He was on Mad Radio this morning about what he thinks is going to happen. But as long as you bring that up, Rich, my feeling at this point is if the Lawrence deal isn't something that somehow triggers this activity. You know, we know the two sides are talking, but we don't know how intensely they're talking behind the scenes. O'Brien even said at the owners' meeting that we use a franchise tag so we can keep negotiating on this thing. But if all the Clowney side views the Lawrence deal as is a very low floor for what they're looking for, my feeling is the only thing that's going to get a contract heading into a potential second franchise tag is Clowney completely wrecking shop in 2019.
Yeah, he's going to have to probably get the double-digit sacks. Well, stay healthy first, number one. If he stays healthy, have the exact same year this year, I think he'll get the contract he wants.
That's 4 years in a row he would have been one of the most healthy guys on the team.
I think he'll get the contract he wants. That's 4 years in a row. That's a full contract for the average person. I think he'll be just fine.
Here's the McClain audio from this morning where John talked about what he thinks, not just this year, but the next couple of years are going to look like for Clowney.
Clowney's not going anywhere else unless he holds out and doesn't get him for the third year. Then they wouldn't franchise him for a quarterback fee. And so I'm sure they'll have him at least the next 2 years, and I think he'll sign a long-term deal.
Not anywhere else, but at least the next 2 years. Interesting.
Yeah, there's no way they're trading him.
What are your thoughts when you hear that, Cecil?
Well, McClain's, he's in around a good situations. So when you hear him say something like that, it's intriguing. You know, I do believe Brian Gain and the Texans, they want Clowney back. I do believe that. I just think they have to find the right number that they both can agree to.
Yeah.
So I kind of agree with that. I just don't want him, if it comes down to a second franchise tag, I don't think it's going to be a pretty sight.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Yeah, probably not. If you were Brian Gain and you did start to entertain trades for Clowney, what would be the beginning point in terms of draft equity that you would take for Jadeveon Clowney?
I need a couple first.
Two firsts?
I need a couple
so first. So the Khalil Mack package.
Yeah, I need a couple first. I think he's that type of talent. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, though, with Clowney, if he has a good year this year, if he had the exact same year he had this year, the price is going up.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I think
he's a Pro Bowler.
You're better off signing this year and getting him right now for whatever price tag you guys can agree to.
July 15th, if you want to circle a date on the calendar, Texan fans. I know you've heard us say it many, many times, but that is the date, now that Clowney has been hit with the franchise tag, that he, if he's going to sign a long-term deal, it's got to get done by July 15th.
That's the date that will come and go without a long-term deal.
Probably so. That, I think that's the chalk right now.
Way to have faith.
That's what the Pender Lord Sportsbook has that as a minus 400 favorite.
Playing on a one-year $16 million deal, we call that life doesn't suck.
I would take that. I would take 1 year $16 million.
I think I would take that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, right? I would take that in a second. All right, coming up next, we got to get Cecil Short's thoughts on Antonio Brown versus Juju Smith-Schuster, with Justin Reed coming in with a chair and hitting Antonio Brown over the head with it. We're going to get Cecil's laughing. We're going to get to that next. You're listening to the Triple Threat Sports Radio 610. Okay, we'll get to Antonio Brown here and Justin Reed swooping in like a superhero to defend Juju Smith-Schuster. Some heroes don't wear capes.
I guess not.
Name is Justin Reed. But I put this up on Twitter earlier today. I put a poll up on Twitter earlier today. For those who weren't watching the Astros last night, Alex Bregman tweaked a hamstring.
He did.
Didn't look to be as bad as a Chris Paul-type hamstring pull, which keep him out for like the better part of a month, or Kiki QT's hamstring pull, which you just don't know how it's going to be week to week, and ultimately keeps him out for weeks on end. This seems to be a little less serious than that. However, it's a hamstring, and we know that the Astros from last year, they were telling us Altuve was day-to-day for a while, and next thing you know, he's on the disabled list, and he's gone for a month and a half. But I put this question up, and I want both you, Rich, and you, Cecil, to tell me what you think your answer would be, because now Houston is the home of the hamstring injury. You can wish for full hamstring health in 2019 for one of these Houston athletes. There's three on the list. Choose one. Alex Bregman, Kiki QT, or Chris Paul. Who would yours be?
Now, is this for the upcoming season?
For the calendar year of 2019.
Right. Okay.
Which will encompass all of baseball, the playoffs and basketball, playoffs. And the entire regular season for football.
Does this automatically mean the two players you don't choose are injured?
No, it's left to the will of the gods. You're just you're guaranteed 100% hamstring
guaranteed
health.
Guaranteed 100%.
Right. What would yours be, Cecil?
I'm going Kiki.
Kiki?
Wow. I'm going Kiki.
Hey, that's respect from a former slot receiver right there.
I guess so. And
why Kiki?
I think his health will be a huge. If he's healthy, I think he has the out of those three people, Bregman, Chris Paul, because I think Chris Paul, they're not going to go to the finals. No, people might get mad at him. I think they have a tough road to the finals going with Golden State.
Okay, right?
Bregman, if he gets hurt, he has 100 plus games to figure out a hamstring. He'll be fine, and I think their Astros are going to be a very very good this year. But I think the health of Kiki, with the injuries they had last year, the health of Kiki has the biggest impact on the Texans as far as the offense is.
Wow, that's a big statement, man.
Out of those three that we talked about.
Okay.
Certainly reflects the importance of football in this city.
Well, and with Cecil Shorts, too, I would imagine.
Yeah, might be a little biased.
Maybe, okay. But I just want to, and Rich, I want to get yours in a second, but sure, I want to stick with that for a second because Kiki QT, not that this should impact your selection at all, I don't think it's a huge surprise.
He's an underdog in this.
He's getting the least support of the three at 18%.
Yeah.
But bigger picture, forget about the poll I just put up there. What exactly do you think Kiki QT unlocks for this Texans offense?
If he's healthy, and just thinking about the injuries that Will Fuller has, he is somebody I think that's a 1,000-yard receiver year in and year out with Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins on the other side. I think he's a huge competitor. I think he will be a huge piece for the offense moving forward. I think he's the game-changing type receiver in his position as far as the slot. He's the Wes Welker of the slot positions and the potential to have that.
I will say this.
That makes sense.
In the time he's been healthy and been paired with Deshaun Watson, he doesn't have obviously the touchdown rate of a Will Fuller, but the Will Fuller-like chemistry appears to be there between Kiki QT and Deshaun Watson.
It's there. If you look at the first game he played in, 12 catches?
11
like
catches.
That?
11 catches, 100 yards.
And for a quarterback, if you can trust a guy in the slot, over and over and over again to be in the right spot. It's somebody like your safe haven, almost a check down. He's able to get yards after the catch. That's huge to go along with DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller.
Last Kiki question, then I want to get your selection on this poll, Rich. What is Kiki QT's superhero power in your mind? Like, what's the thing? What is the thing that makes him that X factor that you're talking about? The biggest thing?
I'll say wisdom. I think at this age, or he's going to his second year, right?
Yep.
How he impacted the game and understood what to do against certain defenses, understood the playbook. That's huge.
You've said the slot position in O'Brien's offense is really complex.
It's complex.
Yeah.
So for him to understand that rookie year, the future is so bright for this kid. He can come out here and catch 80, 90, 100 balls this year alongside with the other two.
Mm-hmm.
Like the offense can be scary, scary good. Like I think if all three stay healthy, right, the receivers – Fuller,
right.
Kiki, and DeAndre, you probably have the best receiving core in the league by far.
Funny thing is, I don't think Kiki QT was chronically injured in college, and I don't think Will Fuller was either. I think Will Fuller dealt with some stuff, but nothing to sideline him to the extent he's been sidelined in the NFL.
Not even close.
Nope.
Not even close. I'm going to say this right now, Cecil. What you're saying, if Hopkins and Fuller and QT are relatively healthy. You know, let's say they play on average the three of them 14 games.
Yep.
You know, so that means they're probably playing 12 or 13 games together, the three of them. If Kiki QT has 80 catches
in
a season where Fuller and Hopkins are on the field for most of the season,
look out.
This offense is scoring like 34 points a game.
This is the Kansas City Chiefs.
If they play all 14-plus games, they'll all have 1,000 yards. You have 3,000-yard receivers. It'll be that explosive, in my opinion.
I think they'll be shoulder-to-shoulder with what they're doing in Kansas City as far as offensive production.
It'll be so fun to watch. You'll be 30 points a game, 33 points a game.
Yeah.
Let me make another prediction alongside what you just said, alongside your prediction of 3 1,000-yard receivers. If that is the case, then there is a chance that the defense isn't quite what we think it is. Because we know what O'Brien likes to do, Cecil, regardless of personnel, when he gets leads. He's not a guy who's zipping the ball all over the place.
Conservative.
He gets conservative. So if you got 3,000-yard receivers on this team, now, that means chances are you're playing in a lot of games that are 35-31. Now, that would make for a lot of fun for you and I to break down in the postgame.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know if that's the recipe to go win 12 games and have a better season than you did last year, but, I mean, it makes for some fun football. Certainly more fun than when Deshaun Watson was not the quarterback.
Oh, absolutely. And then you'll definitely be in some shootouts. But if you look at the NFL now, it's shootouts every single week.
Yeah, and that full complement in the receiving core, I think, allows Thomas, the tight end, to realize his potential.
Absolutely.
That guy's hands, that guy's feet, that guy's speed, he could be something special, I believe.
Yep, and that opens up the run game, too. When you're passing the ball around like that, hitting guys, that opens up the run game. So we'll see how it goes. And you look at the Super Bowl, I mean, the Rams, if Cooper Kupp didn't get hurt, you had 3,000-yard receivers.
That's true. Yeah, no, so, Woods and Cooks got there, and Kupp was well on his way before he tore that
awesome
ACL.
In my fantasy league. Man,
I had Kupp, too. Yeah, you and I, Cooper Kupp fans. All right, Rich, so you can pick full hamstring health for one of the three, Bregman, QT, or Paul, for 2019. Who's yours?
I totally understand what Cecil's saying about Kiki, and I respect it as well.
Yeah.
But my answer is based on what I believe to be true, and that is – only two of those three players have proven themselves to be elite players in their sport. Bregman was a top five MVP candidate.
Very true.
All know Chris Paul's pedigree as far as what he's done in his career. And my belief is that it's the proven elite players that most impact championship hopes. So it can't be QT. QT has to be third, as much as I respect what his potential impact could be for this team. I'm going with Chris Paul based in large part on what we saw last year. I believe his hamstring injury did cost the Rockets a championship. And if I could guarantee him full hamstring health throughout this postseason, they have a great chance to win a championship. So I would go slightly Chris Paul over Alex Bregman.
You think the Rockets got a chance to beat the Warriors?
I do.
Really?
Especially after Steph Curry turned his ankle last night.
Really? Okay.
I think they do, too. I think this Rockets team is a deeper team this year than the one that should have beaten them last year.
Right. I think they would have beaten them last year if Paul hadn't gotten hurt.
No, they'll be underdogs. There's no question about that, in part because this year they're going to have to go on the road.
You know, this year they have Boogie Cousins, who's had some pretty elite games over the last couple of weeks.
Something you've got to deal with.
It's a terrible matchup for the Rockets. Like, that's the one type of center that Clint Capella has a tough time dealing with as a physical center.
Can't forget that.
Alex Bregman is leading this poll right now by just a skosh over Chris Paul, 42% to 40%. My pick would be Paul, too. Similar reason to you, Rich. I feel of these three guys, he's the one that you can say, that's the difference between a championship and not a championship. And some of it comes down to how you feel about the Rockets. Cecil, you not feeling, perhaps, that the Rockets can't beat the Warriors is a valid reason to take someone other than Chris Paul. Yeah. Another reason somebody brought up about Chris Paul that I thought was some very spatial thinking and was very, very good was someone tweeted me, Chris Paul's the one who's the biggest difference maker, but if all you're giving me on Paul is the hamstring, I'm worried that something else is going to break down on Chris Paul, which I think is a very valid
as a fair assessment.
Spatial thinking
absolutely.
View of it. I think just a really quick mention, Bregman, and then we'll move on to Antonio Brown. I think the reason why I wouldn't pick Bregman is because, for the exact reason, Rich, you and I opened the show yesterday saying this, Justin Verlander is the most valuable Astro. Yeah. He's the Astro that if you took him off the team for any extended period of time, there would be a noticeable difference over that period of time. No noticeable difference for the team because of what he represents every 5 days. This lineup can withstand Alex Bregman being out for a month. They withstood other guys in Bregman's class being out for a month.
They won 103 games last year, dealing with a bunch of injuries.
Yeah. I mean, Bregman's a great player, don't get me wrong, and I would certainly want him come postseason time to be around. But, if it were regular season, they'll be fine.
Quick question with Verlander, because he's getting older as far as, baseball age.
Yeah.
Or just, athlete age and individual. How many more years do you think he got?
Oh, he's younger. from his body standpoint than his age would indicate.
Really?
He's what, 35 now?
He's 35. He'll go into at least his early he'll pitch
early
to at least
40s?
41 or 42.
I'm with Sean. I think really? We've got five more, barring obviously a major injury.
Serious, yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I like him for this is because he's never had a major injury. He's kept himself healthy almost completely throughout his career. 1 year where early on in the season he had an issue, but it was not a serious injury. I think five more years is almost guaranteed with Robin.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, barring something crazy. And Cecil, I'm not going to say he's Brady-level maniacal about his fitness, but he's in the neighborhood.
He's pretty serious.
Yeah, he's very serious about his sleep, about his fitness.
He reminds me of Nolan Ryan a lot.
Yeah.
And obviously not identical.
46 years old, I think, right, for
Nolan? Yes, he played 27 years in the big leagues.
Yeah.
that's a crazy thing to think about. Wow. 27 years in the big leagues. And his career only ended because his arm blew up. He could still pitch when he quit. Wow. His arm blew up and he decided, okay, that's it. I think he was 45 years old.
I thought 46, but 46, 45 sounds about right.
Mid-40s. Like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if Verlander goes that long, and they're not identical in terms of their style, but they feel like they're cut from the same cloth in many ways.
Verlander's got way more technology and nutrition available
than
Ryan did back in the day, that's for sure. All right, so shifting gears here, Cecil Shorts in studio with us. By the way, if you want to vote in that poll, it's up on my Twitter feed, at Sean T. Pendergast. On Twitter, if you want to go vote for, we'll circle back to this later in the show and take a peek at who's winning there. But Bregman winning by a little bit right now in the wish for full hamstring health in 2019 poll on my Twitter feed. So Antonio Brown v. Juju Smith-Schuster. Antonio Brown said apparently yesterday in the wake of that little battle between these two that I'm not giving you media types any more reasons to troll me. How long do you think?
He said troll.
I believe he did something to that effect. He feels like this is the media's fault that, you know, this material. He's not going to give us any more material. How long do you think the Antonio Brown material embargo lasts?
This is what bothers me with Antonio Brown. The fact that he said the media is trolling. No, you're giving people stuff to talk about. You're going out here saying this stuff.
Yep.
It's you. It's nobody else. Nobody else is making you tweet this.
Exactly.
Nobody is making you say these things. Nobody's making you get on Instagram Live and go crazy. No, you're doing this stuff. And to go attack Juju for no reason at all because a fan of him tweeted, 2018 season MVP was Juju.
Right.
Who cares? What's that got to do with you?
If
you got your money.
To provoke
you got paid.
Guy,
why
that's
what
enough
are you
to
doing?
Provoke him. Some random fan taking sides with Juju.
Like, I'm so confused by him. At first, you know, with the Big Ben situation, I'm like, okay, it's, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. There's probably some truth to it. I believe it's issues on both sides. And Le'Veon came out. I'm like, yes, issues on both sides of the party. And then when he comes out and does this, like, why are you entertaining people? Like, you got what you want. You got a Pittsburgh. You got the big contract. You're in a whole new situation in Oakland. Be happy. Everything's not about you. And I think this is what the issue is. He wants all the focus, all the love, all the attention on him. He cares nothing about winning.
The Jack Del Rio quote says it all. I love the talent, but he's clear about Antonio Brown. He's clearly shown that he's going to be a pain in the ass. He's a very talented guy, and I would love to have him. I'd work with him, no problem. Guys with talent, you tend to tolerate a bit more. He's America. He's free to do what he wants. I'll sum it up with the last sentence. The working hard and being a good player definitely helps the team, which is why he'll continue to get chances to be special until his skills deteriorate. That's when people will get tired of him. Like, he's not a guy that's ever going to get benefit of the doubt if he continues being like this.
Oh, no.
The minute he loses a step, they're going to kick him to the curb.
The minute he loses a step, he's out of the league.
He's T.O.
He is.
The minute he loses a step. I mean, T.O. eventually they stop giving him chances.
Would you take T.O. over Antonio Brown right now? In his prime, like at this,
no,
this
no,
point
no.
In their career.
I would take T.O. T.O. is a better player than Antonio Brown.
I'm talking
in
about
his
the
prime.
Whole package, the issues,
whole package,
the everything.
I'm just talking about the way it ended for T.O.
Oh,
where he's having
you.
To go
I
play
you.
In Buffalo, and he's having to go play
you.
In Cincinnati,
yeah.
And then
yeah.
They just then he could still play,
yes.
But teams are hands off.
Absolutely, that's exactly what's going to happen to him. He'll have two, maybe 3 years in Oakland, and then they'll cut him or trade him, and then he'll bounce around the league and he'll be out. And it's his fault because he thinks he's bigger than the team. He thinks he's bigger than football.
Yep.
It's all about him.
What did you think of him posting the DM conversation? I thought it made Juju Smith-Schuster look good,
it made
actually.
Him look awesome.
Like Juju, and for those who didn't see it, Antonio Brown on his Instagram account posted a screen cap of a DM where Juju Smith-Schuster, as an 18-year-old kid at USC, reached out to Antonio Brown to say, you know, hey, can you give me some tips? I want to be like you someday, basically. I'm paraphrasing.
Juju looked great, and I love how Juju handled the situation.
Very
he
respectful.
Didn't, he didn't disrespect him in any type of way.
Quoted Mark Twain.
I mean, that's awesome, right? he handled it in a way that, okay, look, you gained a fan in me today. But I don't understand what was the point of putting the DM up. Like, are you trying to talk about him? Like, you just showed that he reached out. Players do. I did that coming out. I reached out to Greg Jennings. I reached out to whoever I could just to get advice, just to get information to try to be the best I can be. So it's nothing wrong with doing that.
Who got back to you?
Nobody.
Okay. How many did you reach out to?
Let's see. Greg Jennings and a few others. But, you know, nobody really reached back. They probably get that stuff. I mean, that happens to me a lot. So I can imagine at that level, the higher up the guy is, the more popular you are. You get that all the time.
What'd you ask them?
Just the same thing Juju did. Hey, I look up to you. I respect you. What's important you can give me of your game? What should I look out for? I'm in the draft class. Boom, boom, boom. Just something simple like that just to try to get some advice moving forward.
Yeah. Did you use social media?
Say it again?
Did you use social media?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. But then I ended up signing an agent, and he helped me get in contact with a few people.
So that was cool.
That was easier. But, yeah, but that's something that, especially when you look up to somebody, and then you get drafted to that team and you get to play with them, that's a dream come true.
No doubt. What did you think of Justin Reed swooping in with a chair and hitting Antonio Brown and saying, I can't wait to smash this guy next year?
I love it, but at the same time, because I love everything about Justin Reed.
Yeah.
I love his attitude. I love his confidence, his determination to be the best he can be. But at the same time, be careful what you wish for. Because Antonio Brown, even though he got a lot of antics, he's a very good football player.
Okay, let me ask you this, Cecil. Just schematically.
He's a very good football player.
Schematically, is Justin Reed putting more of a target on himself? Because they play each other this year.
They do.
The Raiders and the Texans here. Is he putting more of a target on himself as a free safety? Or should Bradley Roby or Jonathan Joseph be like, hey, man, thanks a lot for riling up Antonio Brown?
Yeah, because he said smack. Like, he didn't say cover. He didn't say shut down. Those are key words. I think he knows. I don't want to cover Antonio. Yeah,
I feel like he's going to have a little extra juice for the Texans in general.
It's implied violence.
And that's the thing. I'm okay with him saying smack because that's saying, okay, but you are putting pressure on your corners.
Right.
You are saying, because Antonio, come whatever it is, week 3, week 5, whatever it is, they're going to bring this tweet up. The Houston media, the Oakland media, they're going to bring this up. It's going to come back to life. And so Antonio's going to be fired up. I'm sure the DBs would be fired up, but it puts pressure on your outside guys to perform.
You think O'Brien spit up his coffee when he read it?
What do you think O'Brien thought of the tweet?
No, I think O'Brien agreed with him. I think O'Brien
wants to smash him.
Oh, yeah.
Probably O'Brien's not too happy about him saying it, though.
He probably didn't want to say it, but I mean, yeah, O'Brien's a competitor. And for his guy to come out there and say that, you know, you never want to egg on somebody that's so good.
Right.
That's the thing. That's why I
say
be careful. He is a Hall of Famer. Okay. Whether you like him or not, he's a Hall of Famer. Just be careful.
He is. Yep. But is Justin Reed, my guess is if this were like Mike Tyson or you know, one of the backup safeties saying it, O'Brien would be like, hey, dude, what are you doing, man? Like, you're going to play 10 snaps in that game at the most. Has Justin Reed in 1 year achieved to the point where he's above the line of player that can publicly speak for the team like that and for himself? Or is it too early still?
I think it's too early still. Okay. He played well last year. Didn't even start at the beginning of the year, but played and did a good job. But now he's kind of forced into a leadership role with Tyron being gone, Kareem being gone.
No doubt.
And he, as a safety position, he, you know, probably has the most snaps as a Houston Texan. Yeah. Gibson, you know, but he played other places. So he's definitely stepping to the leadership role. But I think it's a little early for that.
Yeah, I don't think it's a huge deal. But don't get me wrong. I just don't think it's a good thing that we're going to be talking about this until the Raiders and the Texans
you
play.
Know it.
We're going to be talking about it, and they're going to be asked about it. And the fire's going to be fueled a little bit. And that's great for our show.
Good for us.
It's
about
obviously
to say,
great for the conversation. I'm not convinced it's great for the Texans to poke that bear.
Well, you don't want to. And AB's proven he can play with controversy going on. He can play with everything going on. Justin Reed hasn't proved that yet. I want him just to stay in your lane, and eventually I think he'll be, you know, awesome.
And Cecil, you know why we like Justin Reed so much on the Texans postgame show? Because he was the only player that showed up.
He did show up.
Still wearing his
uniform.
Yes.
Taped and everything.
He not showered in his nice suit or with his designer jeans on. He
finger
still had
tape.
He still had the finger tape and the white
eye black.
The white turf forearm pads on. I love that. Hardcore. I feel like he drove home that way.
We don't forget these things.
No. That made me love him. Made me love him even
definitely
more.
Definitely a fan of his.
Into the 3 o'clock hour we go. Cecil Shorts in with us. He's actually in with us. We just we got a bonus segment out of Cecil Shorts coming up because my all due respect story.
You're working it, Sean.
I found Ryan Mallett, Cecil Shorts' former teammate, Ryan Mallett. I found him. Everybody's wondering, where's Ryan Mallett? I found him. It's my all due respect story.
Okay, I'm excited
to
hear.
So, yeah, so we'll get to that in just a second. So you'll be with us for a couple more segments here, Cecil. I want to get in the Aaron Rodgers Mike McCarthy story, I think, is very, very interesting. Not only, I'm guessing, as somebody who just likes football, watching the game, yeah. And what Aaron Rodgers represents, but the receivers, which you were in yeah. the NFL, I think play a crucial role in this whole soap opera with the whole Aaron Rodgers experience. I guess just initially your thoughts, I don't know if you had a chance to read the whole thing. It's like reading Moby
Bits
Dick.
And pieces.
Things
and
like
yeah.
5,000 pages long. But McCarthy and Rodgers obviously both come out kind of scarred in this story. What were your general thoughts on the story?
Well, I guess my biggest reaction was to what Aaron Rodgers said. Was it today or yesterday?
Basically saying it was a smear attack.
Saying it was a smear attack.
Yeah.
To me, like I said before, where there's smoke, there's fire. To say everything is not true, I don't believe, right? But what's interesting is the former players coming out and saying stuff. That's their truths. That's how they felt. Whether Aaron agreed with it or not, that's how they felt in that situation. So you can't take that away from them. Whether Aaron says they're lying or doesn't agree with it, that's really how they felt and how they view him. Their relationship to me is just interesting. The whole story is interesting. Him saying that, and I heard Greg Jennings actually on Undisputed the other day say how he would mention that he was, I guess, different moments he'll mention. I guess the OC was from San Francisco in 2005.
Well, McCarthy was the OC in San Francisco, and they picked Alex Smith instead of Aaron Rodgers.
So I guess he would bring that up over and over and
Rodgers
over
would?
Again. Rodgers would. Yeah. And
sounds
me,
about right.
Wow. I just don't know how I feel about it. I don't know what to react to it. Because I love Aaron Rodgers, right? And I love the quarterback. I love the person that he is on the field. But to hear the behind-the-scenes stuff, it has to be some truth to it. It has to.
Well, and you mentioned Greg Jennings earlier because you were talking about he was one of the receivers you tried to reach
out to.
He was
so smooth, man. He was, when he was in his heyday, he was one of the smoothest guys out here.
He was. His role in that story, I thought, was an interesting one because he was on the inside with Aaron Rodgers. It seems like Aaron Rodgers, you're either in or you're out. And at one point, Greg Jennings was in. Aaron Rodgers had chemistry with him, got along with him. They spent holidays together. Greg Jennings invited Aaron Rodgers over to his house for Thanksgiving because he didn't know anybody in Green Bay, that kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, one offseason, Greg Jennings just finds himself on the outside looking in. It seems to me like Aaron Rodgers has just a major issue communicating with people.
Well, I've heard that before, too. I've heard he has his people that he hangs with, and then if you're not in that circle, then you kind of live on the outskirts. And that's just kind of how he is, which is fine. That's who you are. But I guess for Greg, he was one of the people that was in the circle,
mm-hmm.
and then he found himself outside the circle. So my question is, if you look at his career in Green Bay— It started off awesome, and then towards the end, injuries, and he was getting a little older. He ended up signing Minnesota to a big deal.
Yep.
So I wonder if that had something to do with it, and then did he feel any type of grudge towards them because it didn't end how he wanted it to?
Yeah, I feel like the timing. It's easy right now to pile on up there, right? They've won. I think it's 7-6 games the last 2 years consecutively. McCarthy's gone now. Do you still think the championship window remains open for Aaron Rodgers? Is he still that good where, you put up with some of whatever we're talking about here because of what he does on the football field?
Absolutely. I think he's still the most, between him and, I guess, Patrick Mahomes now, the most talented, arm strength, the ability to
still.
Throw on a run still in the NFL. So with him playing, you always have a chance to win, especially some of the free agency moves they made. They're saying we want to win right now in the window that we have him. So I think you definitely still have a chance, but it's going to come a time where the issues, like I said before, the issues off the field outweigh the performance on the field. And for him, he had a late start to his career. He'll sit behind Brett Favre for a few years. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
I feel like you're uniquely qualified to comment on my next question here because in your career, you never played with an Aaron Rodgers. You largely played.
Should I list my quarterbacks?
You
want me to list them?
You don't need
to.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Can you rattle them off like Goodwill Hunting?
I was thinking about it
yesterday. Okay, let's do this here.
Blaine Gabbert in 2011. Blaine Gabbert, Chad Henne, Luke McCown, Blake Bortles, TJ Yates.
Brian Hoyer,
Ryan Mallett, BJ Daniels.
In Tampa.
Jameis Winston.
Well, you had a little Tom Savage action.
Tom Savage, my guy Tom.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston, and then there was one more. Who's the backup for Jameis Winston?
Is it Glennon?
Mike Glennon.
Yeah.
Mike Glennon.
Dude, that guy is as jelly up as it gets. Mike Glennon.
Mike Glennon.
Kind of the slappy Hall of Fame right there.
Okay, so here's my question. Same question I posed to David Anderson yesterday. Dan Orlovsky, former Texans, former perennial backup quarterback.
That's awesome on ESPN.
He's very good on ESPN. He tweeted this about the Rodgers situation, and I'm paraphrasing, but basically is what he said was kind of taking up for Rodgers, saying, hey, look, Rodgers may have some diva qualities. Most quarterbacks do. There are a lot of bad quarterbacks out there that have diva qualities. If you're a head coach, you're probably going to have to live with that regardless of whether they're good or bad, because that's just how a lot of quarterbacks are. So you may as well live with the one who's got Hall of Fame level talent.
Yeah.
You played with a lot of mediocre quarterbacks. Is that an accurate assessment?
That's an accurate assessment. They are, well, because the guys, and to be honest, the guys I played with, like the starters, so Blaine Gabbert, Blake Bortles, Jameis Winston, the first round guys, they're pampered. So coming into the league, they're built up to be this big success, this next big time great thing. So when they come in, they're a precious diamond to the coaches and to the staff and to everybody, because his success or his fall is all determining your job as a coach. So they're pampered. They're given everything. They get a lot of say. They get a lot of intel, a lot of inside information. So if you're successful, you know, it's just naturally, you know, you kind of feel you're kind of up and up. So, for example, RG3, a lot of people felt like he was, in with the owner and was thought above everybody. Well,
absolutely.
He was. That's just what it is. If you're a quarterback, you're the cool kid. You are the cool kid in school.
Especially when they trade three first rounders for you.
So if you're a quarterback and you're the guy, that's what it is. You are the man. You are the face of the franchise.
Yeah,
so
and
it's naturally to feel that way.
And you follow that up with one of the greatest rookie seasons by a quarterback in league history.
Yeah, it sounds like to me what you're saying, Cecil, is some of it, these guys have these qualities, but especially the guys who are drafted high are kind of enabled when they come into the league.
They're treated as, it's not, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I mean.
It just is.
It just is. They are, because all the success depends on them.
Yeah.
Whether your job as a coach, whether you continue or not, whether you get fired or not, whether you get an extension or not, is depending on how your quarterback does.
Well, speaking of behavior that indicates you think you're something special, did you read in that article the stuff about McCarthy allegedly getting a deep tissue massage during a meeting in which he could have attended?
Did you ever have a coach that went and got a massage instead of going to a meeting?
Never got a massage, but I had a coach that was late to a team meeting, and he was drunk coming into the stadium. Long story short, he was fired halfway through the year.
Is this in the NFL?
This is in the NFL.
I'm not going to ask you to name him, but I think you might have slipped a week or two ago and named him on the air.
You got a good eye.
We're going to leave that alone. We're going to leave that alone.
I have to go find the podcast.
We're going to leave that alone.
Wow, what was the team say? Boy, you had some stuff in Jacksonville, man.
I had three head coaches. My 4 years in Jacksonville, I had three head coaches, two GMs, and two owners.
Wow.
All right, could you, if they came to you for a 30 for 30 about Jacksonville Jaguar football between 2011 and 2014, how many stories could you tell them that would wind up in the 30
man.
For 30?
I don't know.
Days?
Days. Just sitting here, we get a group of guys from that point in time. And it was so much transition. If you get a group of guys that were there for those four or five years, it would be stories for days.
I guess whenever they do Blaine Gabbert A Football Life, then
there you go. The franchise perennially is considered the franchise. If somebody's going to move, it's the Jacksonville Jaguars. What was your sense of their place in that market when you were there?
What do you mean?
It just doesn't seem like they have the strongest foothold among teams.
It's interesting. So the city loves the team, but by the time I was there, we just weren't good. So, for example, my first year here in 2015, we started off 2-5. It was sold out every game. Sold out every game. And then we won the run and making the playoffs, it was sold out. Jacksonville, even the year before last, they had a big run. It was still empty stadium.
Been there many times.
You know what I mean?
Section is covered by tarps.
So I don't know if the stadium is too big. It is a small market, so it's tough. But it's weird because it's the only major professional sports team in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think everybody will look forward to going, but they're just not that interested.
Where else is that the case? I mean, I guess Las Vegas is about to be that.
Were they the only? I mean,
where there's only one game in town from a big league standpoint.
Well, Las Vegas, I was going to bring up Nashville. The similarity with Nashville and Vegas is they both have an NHL team.
Yes.
That are both very popular in those marketplaces.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Cecil Short's in with us for a couple minutes, and you're going to hang around for all due respect as well. Real quick, while we have a couple minutes here, Texans announced their preseason schedule yesterday.
Yeah.
We don't need to dig into the teams too much. Just in general, though, training camp is back here now. It's not up at the Greenbrier in West Virginia.
You get to go.
Yeah, you get to go and sweat with everybody else out there. I think something that's not being talked about a lot, but I think will be talked about more and more as training camp gets here, is how healthy this team is heading into training camp compared to previous seasons.
Oh, yeah.
How big a difference does it make for the team, and how big a difference does it make for Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt?
It's a confidence booster for everybody, for the coaches, the staff, the GM, the players, to know everybody's here, to know everybody will be at practice and able to practice. It's a booster going into the season, because last year, if you had to deal with, okay, how is Deshaun going to deal with his knee, or how is Watt going to deal with dealing with this or whatever injury that he had going into it? So for those guys to be your stars, to be fully healthy coming into the year, you are a confident team, especially after going to the playoffs, which you did last year, winning the division. You are super confident. It's going to be interesting to me to see how they attack preseason, because last year I knew Deshaun Watson had to play because he missed so many games last year. Well, this year, if you look at the Rams, none of their top guys played at all, and they had an outstanding year this year.
Yep.
And O'Brien is big on taking care of his guys, so it's going to be interesting to see how they attack each preseason game. Will they get some reps, or will they not? And then you kind of go back and forth. Well, the guys look rusty early on in the season. It's kind of why they went 0-3. They're coming off injuries, so it's going to be interesting to see how it goes.
Joint practices up in Green Bay. Are those becoming more and more like the preseason games, these joint practices?
Yes, and especially for the player getting evaluated. That's your first time getting evaluated against an opponent. So as a player, that's a big day. That's a big practice for you. A guy named Justin Hardy. You guys might not remember him. He was an undrafted guy here.
He's a wide receiver?
Yeah, wide receiver from Illinois.
Yep.
He had a really good day at a joint practice. Wasn't going to make the team here, but had a really good day at a joint practice against the Saints. Long story short, this is his third year with the Saints as a special teams guru.
So you're auditioning for the other team there, too, is the message.
It's all about tape.
It's all about tape. So if you go out there and perform at a high level, or you're a player, you're putting yourself in good position.
Yeah, Kenneth Farrow this week, the former U of H running back, said that putting things on tape with the San Antonio Commanders is what opened the door for him to get back in the NFL this week.
Yep. That's awesome. Yeah, no, the AAF did work out for a few people.
Yeah, over 30 guys got signed.
Yeah,
that's a lot of guys. Good. Greg Ward Jr. also from U of H.
Where to?
He's back in Philly.
Oh, good.
Good for him.
Good.
Worked out for a few people. Not so much people who were looking to get a meal on the team plane that didn't play or coach, but other than that,
Real quick, random question. University of Houston, how big is that quarterback, De'Arik King?
Not big, under 6 foot.
Kyler Murray's size?
I think a little bigger than Kyler
Probably
Murray.
Probably in
think
that
thicker,
ballpark.
I think thicker than Kyler Murray.
Is he as good as Kyler Murray?
I don't know if he's number one pick in the draft good.
Right.
But he's going to put up monster numbers in Holgorsen's offense. No doubt about that.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.